Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is the first day of spring, officially. We got March Madness in full swing, and we got Randy Mack in for Carl today, my man.
What's going on, Mikey?
Well, you know, I don't read memos, as you know, Randy. And
yes, we know.
Never
this.
Look at the schedule, because who's got time for that? And had no idea I was running point today. So, Squid's like, you know, I see you here in the office. I'm like, what's Randy doing here? He's like, he's working with you. I'm like, so where's Carl? Carl's off.
Oh,
okay. So then, you know, I was kind of in counterpuncher mode, to be quite honest with you. You know, I was going to kind of mail it in today, Carl. But now I got to get in gear. So I went down to Starbucks, got some coffee. We're ready to rock and roll now.
Got you a good cup of Joe right there.
Yeah, baby.
But I'm saying, I mean, y'all are partners. Y'all been partners for years. Y'all don't communicate this kind of thing?
No. Carl just, you know, it's like pulling a Carl. He's off the grid, and he won't answer a text or anything today. Or he uses a radar silence, radio silence. He's off the radar.
So is that... So you did text him today. He has not replied back.
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again.
But see, Carl does vacation the right way.
Right.
Like, you got to text me your shirtless pictures and selfies and all that.
Well, that's,
and see,
that's
Carl,
just...
when Carl goes off the grid, the only way you know that Carl is gone is that he takes a million selfies the whole trip of him in his ashy feet at the beach or with, like, 14 books beside him, like he's actually reading all of them. That's how you know Carl gone.
Right. Now, he does take the obligatory toes in the sand, drinking his hand picture, you know, from that angle. You're right about that. And I send you the selfies from the beach just to aggravate you because I know how much you hate them. So, again, it's all – everybody has their reasoning for why we're corresponding with you via the text. But Randy is in today, and what a big day we got. As Andy was saying with Brian McFadden, Minnesota, Rick Pitino's son, revenge on his dad's old school as Louisville struggling. And Minnesota is hitting every three-point shot right now.
They're shooting well, man. And it's to a point where Louisville might as well throw in the towel. This is like it's a wrap 12-point game right now. So unless they get some stop steals, this one like it's a wrap.
We got three games in progress, and we'll keep you up to speed on that. But we like to start every hour of the show by starting off with a big hearty, hey, man. Very good. And I did the park today. I did some cardio. That's why, again, I was just kind of like laying low, and I'm going to just kind of be mellow today.
Right.
Because it's a different energy when you run point.
Well, my thing is, when we were talking in the bullpen, you said that you were doing some cardio, like short burst of,
short
burst, 5-yard runs.
Yeah, two strides. Yeah, you know, I'm walking, then I go like a hustle, ooh, like that. You know, like I'm juking somebody.
Oh, that's what it is.
So I'll be walking the oval at Piedmont Park, and I, you know, about every half mile, I go, ooh, I go two steps really fast, and it gets a heart rate. Gets a heart rate going.
Hey, Mike, the greatest thing is that you're staying active. You
right.
know what I'm saying? We know you don't do legs. Ever,
no, God
and,
no.
And so you got to find a way to get those legs active. And
right on.
That short burst that you have over Piedmont Park.
It's interval training. Every 9 minutes, whew, two quick steps.
I wonder if people look at you and like, watch this. Like, are you that funny old dude?
I'm walking so slow at the park, and I had so much Bengay on my knees today. I smelled like a peppermint factory. I'm doing my thing, and like an old lady comes walking by me fast, you know, doing the speed walking.
Right.
And then an old guy comes by me jogging. I was doing like I think a normal pace for that is about seven minutes to do that oval, and I was clocking around 9:30, 10 minutes, you know.
But is it the same consistent pace of walking?
Yes, it is. Thanks for asking. So remember, kids, as you get older, cardio still sucks. So get it in. Hey, the tournament's underway. Last night, and I know we still as old farts don't really think of the play-in games as part of the tournament, but they are because you get to be in a bracket. I grew up as a kid, and I was saying this at the end of the show, Randy. We all have, you know, schools you might have watched when you were a kid. Dominique with Georgia back in the day, or whoever your school was. Right. Or Bobby Kremins in Georgia Tech with Mark Price and company. But I love the old St. John's with Chris Mullin. Everybody loved the old Big East. So I always got a soft spot for St. John's. It's one of the schools I applied to when I was getting ready to flunk out of other schools. But Chris Mullin, man, arguably one of his worst coaching jobs. They were absolutely horrible last night in a game. Some people thought they'd be a sleeper against Bobby Hurley's Arizona State.
Well, Arizona State didn't play that much better either.
No.
It was an ugly, ugly game. And I'm with you. That Big East, man, back in those days, you're talking about St. John's and Georgetown and Villanova,
right.
Seton Hall, those squads. I mean, that was college basketball. Now, it's hard to really, unless you're Deshaun, it's hard to really get that much love for because you don't know these players like we knew them then.
No, we don't lie about stuff here on the program. The first game that I watched, the one college basketball game that I watched all of was the second go-round, or excuse me, the third North Carolina Duke in the ACC semifinal.
Yeah.
And then I watched that Gonzaga Duke game. Carl and I stayed here in the studio to watch the end of it in the preseason tournaments. But, I'm like you, brother. I don't really – I will watch some of the conference play, but this is when a lot of guys really dive in.
Right.
And filling out the brackets, in some cases, just a fool's errand because you have no idea what's going on with any of these seeds that are lower.
At all right now. And so much of my – right now, I mean, y'all say it doesn't count because of the first – I'm counting it. So I wrote it in pencil, so – I mean, there's not a big deal in me erasing it right about now. But, yeah, I love the tournament. We talked about, that old school spot where a lot of the fellas used to go back in the day to watch the tournament game.
Yeah.
You know, the nice shoe store that starts with a C.
I work at a station. We used to do a big event at the Cheetah where we'd have all the girls doing the Field of 64. And I was the host for, 10, 12 years. And it was a lot of fun, man. It was before what happened to Virginia last year. That was the only place a 16 seed could be the one seed because you would vote on your favorite.
You would vote
girl.
On it. That's right.
Anyway, but memories. But again, that's 10 years ago. Like when I used to be able to see my feet. But anyway, we got plenty of tournament action to cover throughout the day. A lot of people always look at the 5-12 for an upset.
Yeah.
And New Mexico State was somebody's favorite because they thought Auburn may have maybe have an emotional letdown after winning the SEC.
I picked
way
them.
Early in that game. I got Auburn too.
Yeah. No. No.
New Mexico State?
Yeah, I picked New Mexico State, man, because I thought Auburn was fool's gold, but it's still early, and you look up your squad, Virginia, y'all are down right now, 7-4. I'm sorry, Florida State are down 7-4 right now, so I like Florida State, actually, in this tournament. I got them in my Final Four? I do. I have Florida State in my Final Four because of their depth, their length. I mean, they'll throw, 12 guys at you in one game?
Right.
Their biggest issue is can they shoot?
That's just it.
That's it.
And will Coach Hamilton have a meltdown in the final 60 seconds?
Again,
if basketball games were 39 minutes, I said earlier, we'd be champions. But we'll keep you up to speed. Vermont and Florida State, a 13-4 has just gotten underway, as Randy mentioned. Louisville trying to get back in against Minnesota. And then there's the other story about LSU and Yale. Now, are you one of those guys who said LSU shouldn't be allowed in, or you said it's good to go?
Why shouldn't they be in?
Well, someone's got to suffer for the coach cheating.
Oh, man, please. I'm not worried about that right there. And again, what did he do that was illegal? I'm just saying in my estimation, all right? All he did was give a kid some loot. What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man.
I'm just saying, people always say, well, why punish the kids? Well, because it's illegal, okay, and who knows how they got there, okay, if the coach is on the phone talking that jive.
I mean, he made a strong blank offer.
I got to agree with Jeff Schultz today in The Athletic. I was following Schultz on Twitter today. I agree with him. I don't think LSU should not have been allowed in the tournament.
You don't?
Is going, no.
Really?
Screw that noise. You're going to have to vacate all this crap anyway if these guys are all ill-gotten.
Well,
but right?
Okay, vacated in the
like
record.
Calipari team.
But in my heart, we won. We won. That's all that matters. I want you to come take my ring or something from my house.
Right on.
No,
I'm just saying. I felt
you
that,
really think they shouldn't be in. Really?
Will Wade looked at me and Carl in the eye, and he lied right to us. He said he ran clean programs back when we spoke to him at the Final Four.
Oh, so it's a little
personal
to you.
There's a betrayal.
Now we see.
We were advocating this dude to take the Georgia Tech job.
It's personal to you now.
Exactly.
He might still get the Georgia Tech job.
Well, you know what? Josh Pastor's blazing a trail of ickiness right now that would certainly grease the skins for Will Wade to come in.
When keeping it real goes wrong.
This hour of the show brought to you by Kia. We're live inside the Kia studios. And by the way, we are back on camera. And we're not thrilled about it because we got to suck in our stomachs and stuff, but we're back on the Watch 92.9 The Game app. Deshaun, our college hoops expert, also multitasks as the webmaster for the broadcast, so check it out.
But do you worry about that at all?
Well, just because, you know, people get so snarky. You know, if you have a point where you slump over it like I'm apt to do and I've got six chins, somebody will screen save that and they'll make it onto Twitter. So,
oh, okay.
Guys are these days. But the show is, yeah, you go watch 92.9 The Game. And speaking of the website, check us out, 92.9thegame.com. Squid Billy and I, it's our second podcast, Randy, on Formula One.
That's what's up right there, man. Yeah. An underrated sport. I know how much you love Formula One.
And I, know I love Squid race cars and I love
know
cars.
I know Squid Billy's
right?
a big NASCAR guy and everything. So the fact that you two can play nice in that little bitty room over there is the most impressive thing to me.
Right, no, it's the international bond that guys who love cars. You know, it brings people together. You know, rednecks, city folk, it brings everybody together to talk F1. So find out if Ferrari can bounce back in Bahrain and can Squidbilly finally learn how to pronounce Renault properly. Renault. It's all on the podcast, so check that out.
Is he struggling with Renault?
No, it's you know, he's learning the names. Okay. He's learning. Say Renault for the listeners, Squid.
You want me to say it right?
Yeah.
Renault.
Hey.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing,
he's calling it Renault.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, if there's a letter, I like to pronounce it, all right?
Okay.
And there's a T at the end of Renault, so I like to say Renault. Leclerc, because there's a C at the end of the Leclerc.
Well, that's right. You know, Squidbilly wants to pronounce those consonants. He thinks they're there for a reason. It's written in another language.
Hey, but when we're, you know, when we first learn our words, though, they sound everything out. Hey, I got you, Squid. Right. I got you.
But we're not prone to hyperbole here. We'll keep on rolling with Bo producing and Samuel Tarly. He's engineering this here, train wreck. We've got the headlines coming up. Also, guys, in about 30 minutes' time, we'll get caught up with Julian Gressel, Rookie of the Year 2 years ago, having an unbelievable run, Randy. One of the few guys who is actually really looking good in Frank DeBoer's system is Julian Gressel. And we'll talk to number 24 coming up and see what he has to say about this very funky start to United season.
King of the cross right there. Well, I'm telling you, he puts it right where it needs to be the majority of the time. And I know you being as big a United fan as you are, I know you're really upset about this. And I've heard you and Carl, and I mean, just the angst that you have, because, Mike, we've been here since day one. We watched this team, and even though they didn't win the MLS Cup the first year, the excitement. And then you're talking about how they brought in casual fans, and now the casual fans are like, this is boring. I don't want to come anymore.
Well, that's just it. They got to straighten this out, and it's going to be a minute. We've said that let's just get to that Philadelphia game, have a break. Now we got an international break, which really, if you look at it, Randy, it's not exactly a break for the best players, because the best players have to fly all around the world.
Exactly.
And so, train.
So that's the thing, Mike. How are you supposed to get this rhythm and everything you're talking about when two of your most important players, who obviously need to get their chemistry together, are going to be playing somewhere else? But it is an honor to play and represent your country, though.
Right. And so the United fans like me are hoping it's going to get rolling, but Randy, you touched on it. It's just the style that we were all sold on. And we talked about this with Darren Eales up at State Farm when they were honoring United and the championship on Tuesday. It's the style that we all kind of really dig.
Right.
And if you weren't a soccer fan, like we had guys, you know, dyed-in-the-wool football fans. Like, I hated soccer myself for much of my adult life until I got turned on to the good stuff. And that's what we want to see. And it hasn't been that kind of free-flowing, really cool style to watch.
No, it hasn't because, again, we're used to a certain way that this squad plays. And they're just not looking like that. It could be manager. Because, Mike, I remember, and me and you were together when they were talking about the names of potential replacements for Tata, and his name came up, and we were both like, who is this guy? Remember, we had, we were at Twin Peaks Kennesaw, and a lot of stuff you heard, well, he has similar, you know, traits to Tata. They have similar styles. I don't see it yet.
The only thing he's got in common with Tata is they both walk on two legs. Scaletto was the guy we were talking about who wound up in the Galaxy.
Right.
And in Los Angeles. And it was funny. Alexi Lalas told us last week. He said maybe they got mixed up on the planes at the airport. We got the wrong dude. We'll come back. Got the headlines for you. A time-honored tradition in Athens, Clark County. A Georgia player driving without a license. Randy will explain. Coming up next.
The Game. And see, Carl, when Carl goes off the grid, the only way you know that Carl is gone is that he takes a million selfies the whole trip of him in his ashy feet at the beach or with like 14 books beside him, like he's actually reading all of them. That's how you know Carl.
Yes, Randy Mack is here and for Carl today. Took a day off. I didn't know. I just walked in. I found out. But we're ready. I can pivot. I can pivot to point. Nobody wants me running point. They never trust me running point. But I can do it. I'm not dumb. I'm smart.
You're going to adjust.
Like Fredo with The Godfather. Let Mike run point. Let Mikey run a Mickey Mouse casino. Send Mikey to the airport to pick somebody up. I want respect.
What a line.
Well, Godfather 2.
What a line
you.
That was. I mean, he was so adamant, though.
That's great. The actor that played, he passed away at an early age, but just played the perfect sap.
He did.
In every movie he was in.
His wife his wife was acting up. Oh, I can't control her, Mike.
Yeah, John Cazale was the actor. And he, remember, he was the sidekick in Dog Day Afternoon. Mm-hmm. And he always plays the sad, poor sad sap. Same thing in The Deer Hunter. Great character actor who played Fredo in The Godfather. For you millennials out there, look it up. All right, guys. Tournament action. Couple of things. If you believe that New Mexico State, like Randy, could be one of those classic 12-5 upsets, they're down to Auburn. It's 32-29, the Tigers at halftime. Bruce Pearl basking in the warm afterglow of destroying Tennessee. It was personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was crazy, man. That was, I mean, that was.
Tennessee, that's, I mean, they looked so bad that whole game, man. I mean, but you got to give them credit. You know, mm-hmm. eventually, as fun as Auburn, you were talking about, who were you talking about? Somebody losing their banners. Don't be surprised if that Auburn.
Because you know, yeah, you're saying
you know,
perhaps,
he leaves chaos in his wake also. Yeah.
You're saying that, well, look, Chuck Person's ready to go to the Hooskow.
I mean, really?
And Bruce, now it's amazing how this Adidas bribery scandal is not touching the head coaches. Amazing how that's happening.
Isn't it crazy? Isn't it crazy? But yeah. But,
although Sean Miller in Arizona might not be able to escape.
He might be out of there. But I mean, at least, you know, Coach Pearl, he seemed like he's the type of guy, if an assistant does get busted, mm-hmm. he'll put some money on your books, on your commissary. He seems like he's that type of guy.
Meanwhile, you do have an upset today. And that is Minnesota, and barring a major miracle, looks like Minnesota is going to beat Louisville. There's 39 seconds left. They're going to need a bunch of missed shots and a bunch of things to fall, but this is Chris Mack, guys, the Xavier coach, who has a really impeccable resume. 8 trips to the tournament. He's been to the Sweet 16 3 times, went to an Elite 8 once with Xavier, and this is his first year at Louisville. Won 20 games with the Cardinals, obviously after Rick Pitino leaves in disgrace, but he's about to go out, as I said, if they can't get things cooking. Minnesota up 9 with about 38 seconds left in that region. But Florida State and Vermont getting underway, as we said, and that one is 17-16. The Noles are up, and also LSU and Yale. And looks like LSU now in the driver's seat. A lot of people thought there might be a letdown after the Will Wade thing we talked about.
I didn't think it would be a letdown. You kind of heard his team talk after they won the SEC regular season title about, hey, we're together as one, as a team, and he has put us in a position that even though he's not here, we're able to come together and win this game. And you got to give Yale some credit, though. Yale's trying to make a comeback and trying to make it interesting, but I still like LSU in this game. Mm.
Well, guys, you know what's going on with the tournament. Let's tell you what's going on locally. It's time for the head. Oh, you got it. I can't do it. You do it. Oh, time out. Stop it. Stop the music. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. We got to let Randy do it.
I am not doing it anymore.
Yes, you can hit the high notes.
Y'all just make fun of me use it over and over and over.
It's a team sport, and you know it's all about getting your balls busted in the locker room.
Hey, Brian, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Thank you.
With Dukes and Bell.
That's awesome. Headlines brought to you by Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, Ale. Shenanigans in every can. All right, guys, let's start with Thomas Dimitroff. Needless to say, a lot of NFL personnel descended on Athens yesterday, and not the Butch Schmier building, but Butch Schmier and the training facility to see what's going on with the Dogs as they try to make their way to the NFL. First things first, are you making a big deal out of the Holyfield time? Not much better from his 40 at the combine.
I'm not making a big deal out of it because if you watch his game, he doesn't have that breakaway speed, but what he does well, Mike, he has very good lateral quickness and lateral shiftiness. So, but yeah, I mean, they're going to put a whole lot on that. That's why he might be fifth, sixth round possibly. I saw somewhere where he might not get drafted, but I think he's the type of player, Mike, that when he gets on a roster, he's going to stay on a roster.
Right. And certainly, guys, the speed thing, it just hurt him as far as the earning potential, how much he's going to make, because everything is slated.
Yes.
Fifth or sixth round. You think he's going to be a sixth rounder?
Fifth or sixth possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you take him with the Falcons as a nice change of pace?
I would.
Okay. Because we got Brian Hill, but I'm not impressed by him.
I mean, Brian Hill, you still don't know what he is, Mike. Like, when it's his rookie year, when he got an opportunity to run behind the first line, right. He did pretty good, but then everything else was like up and down. So. I mean, I think Dan, they like him, but, I mean, I would like to see a bigger back.
I got no problem taking a flyer on a guy late. We've talked about that a lot. And then Isaac Nata, again, not his fault that Chaney didn't get him the rock, but some people are saying it was a mistake for him to go pro this year.
Yeah. When you're coming out early, you send your name off and everything, and they send an evaluation back to school, and you go to the compliance office, and they read it with you, and it said to go back to school. But he believed in himself, had a better day yesterday. At his pro day, which could help him. And I still think he's going to be a good tight end.
Well, the Falcons staff was there. That meant the Falcons got to answer some questions. Thomas Dimitroff about Julio's new deal. When's it going to get done?
Julio first, no timeline on that. We'll continue to talk with both Julio and his representation. I mean, again, we have really good conversations with them. So there's no particular time on that. Not concerned about it, nor is he. We'll get that figured out. I know there's interest because of everything that's going on, with all the receivers in the league. Obviously, some big numbers talked about in a big situation there. But, look, we feel good with our communication there.
Now, again, they can make the movie, They can make the money move a little bit, but we know how this movie plays out. Eventually, you will have to pay later with the cap hit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so much strain and stress on the cap right now. The Falcons have the least amount of cap space in the league, but there's ways of getting things done, Mike. We know that, and they have come out and said last year that Julio is going to get taken care of this year. They said, and you don't want to upset Julio.
It's 30 of 32, as you said. Randy pointed out, we've got like next to nothing. Yeah. We got enough money. Actually, we'll have to cut somebody. There'll be some money coming off the books to take care of the draft class. You got to pay those guys. Also, speaking of money, make money. Here's Thomas Dimitroff talking about what Grady Jarrett's timeline is.
As far as Grady, we of course franchise tagged him, and that's where we are at this point. And you can negotiate that all the way up to just before training camp, so we have time to continue to discuss.
How long do you think that drags out?
I think he's going to play on a franchise tag this year, personally, Mike. I actually think that. And I think if they don't get him signed, then between him and Deion Jones, one of them needs to get signed this offseason, because then you can use a franchise tag again next year. And so I think one of them has to be signed. But the thing with Grady is, I don't even think it is possibly the year average, because that's such an overrated thing in NFL contracts. What's the guaranteed money in Grady's contract? Because if you're telling me that Jake Matthews got $75 million but only $20 million guaranteed, there's no way I'm taking a contract like that.
Well, you look at the comparable linemen. Again, it's not a disrespect to Grady, but Aaron Donald's at a different stratosphere.
Yes.
But you can look at Fletcher Cox contracts. You can look at other guys that got monster signing bonuses.
Yeah, and Fletcher's deal was done 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago. So, if you look at how it, the cap goes up and, stuff like that, you can say Grady's somewhere in that area.
Hey, here's Thomas about adding more linemen on both sides of the ball. I like the moves if these guys pan out. We got beefier. I'll ask you later in the Falcon Report if we're going to be a little more power run game as opposed to zone blocking. But here's Dimitroff on some of the moves in the trenches.
A lot of people think, does that mean you're going to move away from focusing on continuing to build there? Mm-hmm. We need to continue to build our depth and our youth and continue to develop. So that is part of it. So we'll continue to look at both sides of the O and D line as we go into the draft, of course, and, of course, many other positions that, of course, we need.
Again, Thomas and all the staff was out there, and, of course, we saw Bill Belichick out there. Bill, he did wear the Alabama pullover, wouldn't they? Couldn't get him in a Bulldog pullover, Randy.
Man, him and Nick are close, and I'm sure he gave Nick's like, here, go get Bill something. It's not a big deal. But, Bill, he loves Georgia players now. He knows what Kirby's teaching him is what, Nick taught him and what Bill taught Nick. So it's a complete circle. And all of them learn from Bill Parcells. So, you'll see him every year at a Georgia Pro Day putting those guys through the workout.
Rodney Nabolsi reported he was wearing Bulldog boxers. All right, on to the Braves. bad day today for a guy that we got high hopes for in the starting rotation.
Why?
Kyle Wright.
Why?
Yeah, man. Well, they didn't spend money on another veteran, and now you guys are telling me it's going to be all good. Austin Riley does homer, second straight game, and that got off to a nice start for the Bravos, but then Wright gave up six runs and a pair of three-run homers in the bottom of the inning to Brandon Lowe and Nate Lowe. So that means Max Fried next up, and Max Fried says, you can put me anywhere.
Fastball command is, when I need to throw a strike, I was able to. Curveball, I was able to throw it behind in the count, been able to work on that slider, and it's been feeling a lot better, so just trying to get reps with it and just be as comfortable as I can coming into the year. I'm taking the approach of I get the ball. It doesn't matter if it's in the middle of the game or at the start of the game. I want to be able to throw the ball the same.
He's looked good. We've talked about the young arms that have looked pretty solid. Tukey Toussaint and up until today. Kyle Wright also a guy that looks really good.
That's all I'm going to say. It's one week. Hey, did you see Kyle Wright and all that? Then the next week is, Kyle Wright. I'm tired of it, Mike. I really am. If you're not going to use these guys, and to me it just seems like they're just not ready, then get rid of them and bring somebody in this injury.
Well, as I said, that's why we're throwing the Gio Gonzalez thing out there we talked about with Andy. It's not that we think he's going to be any great shakes, but you can use him as a disposable pitcher. And if he does what you need, you can get rid of him or not. Or you can say, teams that have a team that won the division and are owned by a multi-billion-dollar company don't operate like this. It's pathetic. It's sad.
It's very sad.
But unfortunately, there's so many Braves fans, and they're not all you guys, but there are some Braves fans that are such suckers. They believe everything that gets thrown out to them by Liberty Media, and they take it like gospel.
I'm not believing it anymore. And then my day gets even more sad. When I look on my timeline via the Atlanta Falcons Twitter that they have agreed to terms with Justin Hardy. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's just great. That just gives you so much confidence. That's great.
Justin Hardy?
Yes, Justin Hardy. On a one-year deal.
All right. Yeah. Have we seen enough? Disrespectful. Have we seen enough?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, that's not compelling, but yeah. We'll talk more about that coming up, man. It's the headlines, guys. We got more to talk about. The headlines about United have been, well, mixed at best. Talking about style and trying to get used to it. We'll pull out Julian Gressel's brain, take a look at it, and see what he has to say about Frank DeBoer's system. Number 24 from your champion United, coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
Ezekiel Barco, like he shot out of a cannon, to the top of the 18, to Nagby, top of the arc, left off to Lorenowitz, over to Gressel in the far corner. Here's his cross. Barco hits it, scores! Beautiful team goal by Atlanta United to pull even in the 70th minute.
Guy gives more better deliveries than UPS, man. This guy's money. Julian Gressel joins us right now. It's brought to you by our Georgia Natural Gas. Hot off the presses, Atlanta Soccer Report. Number 24, a guy who is really thriving in Frank DeBoer's system. Rookie of the year, two seasons back. He joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Hey, Julian, how you doing?
Good, good. How are you guys? What's up?
Good,
doing good, man. Doing real good, man. And I know you guys are glad that stretch is over. In your professional career, have you ever been through a stretch like that? And how taxing is it on you, not only physically but mentally?
Yeah, I mean, I remember that the first year, you know, when we had to reschedule some of our games mm-hmm. because obviously the Mercedes-Benz wasn't ready. We had a pretty tough stretch in September, I think. That came pretty close to this one. This one was tougher in a way because we had to travel a lot. And obviously, unfortunately, I picked up a little injury on my ankle in the middle of it. So the back end here, those last three games have been pretty tough, you know, obviously with the short turnaround and stuff. So I'm pretty happy that we have this this weekend off and then get some time to get some guys some needed rest, you know.
It is Julian Gressel with us, guys, with our United report brought to you by Georgia Natural Gas. And that's the thing, Julian, no one wants to make excuses, but we've heard from everybody around the country that, yeah, it's a grind to get thrown into CONCACAF Champions League while those guys are in the middle of their season. That's not any easier. And by the way, Monterrey, I sat down low at field level. Those dudes are big, man.
Yeah, they're a good team, you know. And it was, like you said, they're in the middle of their season, you know, so they have a good amount of, obviously, are fit, you know. They're right in the thick of things. So a midweek game for them is not as tough where they are in their season as it was for us. But like we said, no excuses, you know. I think we could have still left there with a better result, and then that would have given us a real chance at home. But I think the return leg was good, you know. And obviously, we didn't have the best start of the season at all, but there's still a lot of games left, so...
Hey, Gress, what is the most important thing to you that this team has to get done in the little, you know, this 2-week window that right now without without Joseph and without PT?
Yeah, we just have to, you know, like I said, I think first and foremost we have to get the rest, you know, and kind of recover from the tough stretch that we had, if that's physically or even mentally, you know. Obviously, the games haven't gone the way we wanted them to, and unfortunately, you know, that's just our situation right now. But if you look at tactics, the tactic side of things, you know, obviously we have to figure out certain things on the field, you know, in order to get better, in order to have better results. And there's this is the perfect time for it, you know, where I think the last 4 weeks we didn't really train, we didn't really have one real training session of coming in, really warming up, really getting after it, and then leaving with a good feeling. You know, it was all like, it was always like more recovering and then already really light tactics towards the next game because you don't want to do too much on the body, you know. So this is the first time where we have some time to actually train and to really focus on of how we want to play and how we want to set up and how we want to look like, or what we want to look like in the future here.
It is Julian Gressel with us, guys, from Atlanta United on the WadeFord.com hotline. And, Julian, I guess because of the new faces, and again, PT's a different type of athlete than what Miggy does, and we're seeing Miggy doing great things over in Newcastle. It seems like from a fan standpoint, we're just one pass away. Is that just going to be a byproduct of more time and you guys get into a rhythm and then can read each other's movements?
Yeah, you know, I think the change is obviously big with Miggy and Pitty coming in and the new coaching staff and a different system, you know, those are not, you know, light or small changes. Those are pretty big changes. I always look at, you know, teams around the world, like Real Madrid, for example. You know, they lost their coach and Cristiano Ronaldo, and they're struggling as well, you know.
Right.
Not comparing us to Real Madrid, but those are kind of the same kind of things that happen, you know, to the best teams in the world. And we're in that boat. But, yeah, so it's I think it's just a matter of time. You know, we're getting a bit of better feeling, you know, on the field. I think it's the last few games have been we're heading in the right direction, you know, and like you said, the results will come because I think we'll keep working hard and we'll keep figuring things out and then we'll get the results and we'll get the, yeah, Pity and Joseph and, you know, all these guys more opportunities on goal and more ways to really influence the game.
Julian, how has your role changed, if it has changed, with Frank DeBoer coming in?
It hasn't changed too much, I think. You know, I mean, obviously I've been playing on the right side. You know, they ask certain specific different things, you know, than Tata had asked of me. But I've always been a guy that's adapted pretty quickly. So I try and, you know, do what the coaching staff asks of me. And I think, you know, so far I've done a decent job of it, you know. But if that's, you know, like the last game where I played 60 minutes as a right back, you know, it's no problem for me. I'll do that. And we'll hopefully win the game, you know, things like that where, I'm just open for whatever role is coming my way So nothing's really changed for me in that sense.
And I guess a lot of people, as Julian Gressel joins us here from Atlanta United, a lot of people want to make it, okay, I might make it a thing, where it's a different vibe from Tata to Frank DeBoer. And Frank, because of the coming from the Dutch league, it's a more conservative style. Are we going to see United get back to that kind of flowing attacking style over the course of the year?
You know, I think we actually already have seen that in the last couple of games. You know, we obviously, you play a few teams that don't really try and play out of the back, so we couldn't really put our press on. But, you know, for them to play only long balls, for example, you know, I know Cincinnati, they played a ton of long balls. Even Philly, you know, they didn't have much of the ball. So we can't really press if the other team doesn't really let us, you know. So in that way, we're really trying to get back to those attacking ways. And then with the ball, it's always tough to play against a tight team, you know, that plays in the back in their final third that stays compact and makes the spaces really small. You know, we've always struggled, and I think every team struggles with that when teams are organized like that. So it's obviously something that we're working on, you know, because we feel like teams are going to be like that moving forward against us. And, you know, we still have to break them down and still have to be able to create more chances and score more goals. You know, that's obviously what we want to do as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. These other guys got a plan, too. I don't they realize it's supposed to be like a FIFA video game?
Exactly.
Hey, Julian, what about, speaking of opening things up, when I saw Franco Escobar, looks like he's moving around pretty good. I mean, a collarbone is a pain in the neck, literally. But how good is Escobar going to make this team?
Yeah, you know, it's good to have him back. He's been out ever since the first practice. So it's definitely good to see him back on the field and see him back healthy, you know, and hopefully the shoulder will hold up and he's not too hesitant to go into challenges and go into tackles. I know that that's still in the back of your head sometimes when you have injuries like that. But, yeah, it's good to have him back. You know, I obviously he's trained a few days now, so I don't really know yet of how much he's going to be involved in this Columbus game yet or whatever. But, you know, we got to give him time. He hasn't practiced or done much work in the last few weeks, so don't expect too much right away out of him, and just let's just have him ease it back into it and be ready when called upon, you know.
Julian, last one for me, a guy that a lot of us fans have just got to see a lot more of, guys that you probably know already, Miles Robinson. Talk about his emergence this year so far.
Yeah, Miles, you know, he's been playing really well, obviously, like everybody's been saying and everybody's been seeing, you know, and he's saved it, you know. He's been saving it for the last 2 years, where you could see glimpses of it, you know, when he stepped up in the games that he played. I think he always did a very good job of coming into the team and then performing. And now, you know, that's what a few games do to a young player like that. When you really get the confidence, you play well, and then, you know, you get the confidence from the coach and the trust and everything. And then, yeah, he's a great defender. You know, and he's gotten a lot better on the ball offensively. So it's definitely something that, you know, I think he'll have a great season.
All right, man, before we cut you loose, Julian, how's married life changed you?
Hasn't really changed me at all, to be honest with you. Everything is pretty much still the same.
Good answer. You say every day is a thin slice of heaven. She's probably listening. All right, man. Hey, we always appreciate the time, Julian. Enjoy the time off. And, oh, by the way, did you have fun at the Hawks game the other night? You had to bring the hardware, bring the trophy.
Yeah, it was good. It's always good to bring the trophy out and then show it around. You know, it's definitely something special. Never get old.
All right, big guy. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate
Thanks again
it,
for
Julian.
The time.
Appreciate it. You too.
You got him. And as our guy, Julian Gressel, guys, it's brought to you by Georgia Natural Gas, a name more Georgians have trusted for over 20 years. Reliable, local, that's GNG. Get a low rate you can count on at GNG.com. All right, guys, we got a one bracket buster already today. Didn't take long.
Might have look like we're going to have another one.
Yeah,
Yale's making a little run right here.
Mm-hmm. That's why they call it March Madness, Randy. We'll be talking about that. Plus, interesting stories in the NFL Blitz, including one lawyer really fibbing about how much Colin Kaepernick got from the NFL. We'll explain.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.